Great to be here today to share in your service and your worship and to have this great fellowship. I was just saying to one or two of you this morning that Carol and I have been coming here for about 33 years, so that's quite a while, isn't it? We started coming here when our eldest son Simon was at uni, and he's now over 50, so our relationship with this church has been really wonderful over the years, and we just thank God for you. Shall we pray? Loving God, we just thank you that today we've got the freedom to open your word in this public place. And we just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. As it says in your word, Lord, that when the Comforter comes, he will lead you into all truth. And Lord, we want truth from your word this morning. So I just pray, Lord, that you will speak to each one of us, both speaker and listener, that we may be challenged, encouraged, and blessed by the words of Holy Writ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn to your Bibles to actually Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, and a subject really this morning is in fact Caleb. He will be the man who will be mainly looking at this morning. But let's just remember that Canaan, which we're talking about, the entrance into Canaan, the actual promises of God. You see, Canaan is a picture or type of a victorious, fulfilled Christian life. It's not a picture of heaven. And the lessons we learn from today will enable us to live a life or a life of defeat. We see in this message this morning, we see victory and we see defeat. Just a summary to bring us up to verse 25. Miraculously, the children of Israel had been brought out of Egypt. Miraculously, they had crossed the Red Sea. Miraculously, God had brought them not far, in a very short time, not far from the Promised Land. And God told Moses in verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So they appointed 12 spies or 12 leaders of the 12 different tribes of Israel to go into the land of Canaan and to see what the land was like, whether it was rich or whether it was poor, whether there was trees, whether there were cities, to really explore it and to see what God had given and was going to give to these people. So they departed, and they came back 40 days later. And in verse 25, we read of chapter 13 of Numbers, and they returned from spying at the land after 40 days. And they gave reports. We read of the good reports. In verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And in verse chapter 14 over page, verses 6 to 9. But Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, were among those who spied on the land of their, tore their clothes. They spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. You see, this was an answer to negativity. We get plenty of negativity around the world today, don't we? And even in the church, if we're not careful, we're going to be negative. We find plenty of it in the workplace. We find plenty in the press. Everything in the press today is in fact negative. This was a response to negativity. What was this negativity? What was the bad reports what came? 31 to 33 of chapter 13. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of a land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight. Two responses. See, they were camped in the wilderness at Paran, at Kadesh Barnea, 11 days' journey from the promised land. That's where they were camped. What do we learn from this? The 10 spies walked by faith. Walked by sight, sorry, not by faith. They said continually, didn't they? In verse 28, they said, we saw the descendants of Anak there. In verse 32, they said, we saw in it men of great stature. And in verse 33, they said, there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak. Looking through their own eyes, that's what they saw. They looked and saw by sight and not by faith. We're like grasshoppers before these giants. But two spies, Joshua and Caleb, walked by faith, not by sight, saying the Lord will bring us into this land. 14 verse 8, as I read before. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. The 10 spies saw great giants and a small god. 2 spies saw a great god and small giants. We today in Australia, which to most of the world is a land flowing with milk and honey, because so many people want to live here, including myself, who came here 40 odd years ago. But we face battles here. The enemy is in Australia as well as in England, or wherever parts of the world you different folks come from. He's here. And we face everyday battles. Paul himself said, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but fighting against principalities and powers and outer darkness. Everyday life, we have to be on our guard by faith and look to God. But there's one important fact here. We can be like those 10. We can be pessimistic. And we can trade 11 days for 40 years, which the majority of the people did. Or we can be optimistic. I repeat, Caleb and Joshua walked by faith and not by sight. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land. How do we please God? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him. You see, God likes us to trust him. Otherwise, he wouldn't save us, would he? He wants us to live by faith. He wants to have us to have faith in him for the very simple things we come across every day, for the air we breathe, for the food we eat, for the houses we live in, for the safety we enjoy in this country as a whole, for our families, for our friends, for health. He wants us to thank him and to praise him and to give him the glory for all of these wonderful things, because they all come from him. You see, we're saved by faith, aren't we? By faith are you saved, through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you see, Canaan was a gift. God said, this is what I'm going to give to you. It was a gift of God. And we're kept by faith. 1 Peter 1:5 says, we're kept by faith through the power of salvation until the last day. God's plan was not just to bring them out of bondage, but to take them in, both by his mighty power. What made God angry was rejection of him as a person. 14 verse 11 tells us this. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? They rejected him as a person, not just as a giver of a land. They rejected him as a person. What had he done for them? He delivered them from the Egyptians. He performed miracles, lots of miracles, not one miracle, but many miracles, which they saw and experienced. And finally finished up with the lamb being put on the doorpost, and the angel of death went over and destroyed the firstborn of Egyptians. But those who by faith put their blood on their post, their children were not destroyed. And some of those people would have been the people who put the blood on the doorpost. And are now rejecting him. Sadly to say, some Christians today, after accepting the salvation of God and experience this new life in Christ, let the world take over and fall to the snares of Satan and become powerless and ineffective for God. And some even reject him. God said they tested him 10 times. The other thing is unbelief in that same verse. How long will these not believe me? In verse 11, will all the signs which I performed among them? And they still didn't believe him. They were disobedient. They did not heed his voice. You know, verse 22, because all of these men who have seen my glory and the signs what I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and they put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice. Do you fit into any of this? Do I? We need to examine our own hearts. Are we hurting God because of our lack of faith? Because of allowing the world to take over? When I was in England many years ago, and we've got many Indian friends here this morning, I ran the Sunday school at our gospel Paul. And a lot of Indian families came over from Uganda. You remember when Paddy, what was his name, the actual president there, he told the Indian community to move out. And many of them were business people. Quite a large amount of them settled in there close to our estate, not far from a gospel church. And some of them came to Sunday school. And I used to visit those families quite regularly. But I remember one day, one mother saying to me, she was very upset, she was almost in tears. She said, over in Uganda, we hadn't got much. There was not much of a distraction for my children. But since we've been in England, she said, they've got caught up in the world and have gone away. And it's always stuck with me. Because we've all got children. We all were children. We must not let the world catch us away and hurt our Lord. These people also complained. Numbers 14, 22nd. Because all of us, the whole nation, from 20 years up, would not see the promised land for 40 years. Verses 27 to 29. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard their complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who are numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. Do you know what concerned me there? Those 12 spies who were called out to spy out the land were the leaders of their 12 tribes. Well, these are their 12 tribes. And being a leader, they had a responsibility to lead their tribes in the way of God. They were chosen for that particular purpose. And because of their failed leadership, because of their failed example, and because of their failed faith, and their unwillingness to wholly follow the Lord, as Caleb did and Joshua, they not only found themselves dying in the wilderness, but also caused the death of many thousands of others. Let's just think about this. If God calls us to be leaders, whether it's in the church, or whether it's in business, or in the family, we've got young men here with young families. We've got older men with families and grandchildren. We are the leaders in whatever family, business, or church situation we find ourselves in. We must be very careful that we wholly follow the Lord and do not cause those under us to stumble and to lose their inheritance. We know we can't lose our salvation. We know that. The Bible makes it perfectly clear. But we can lose our inheritance. This is a challenge. This is hard fact. And I say to the fathers, I say to the leaders, I say to the elders, I say to me here in this church this morning, I say, are you wholly following the Lord? Because if you are not, you carry a responsibility, perhaps, of those under you falling. And this is what happened here in the wilderness. You see, Caleb, God set another spirit in him. Not the spirit of bondage and fear, Romans 8, 15. Not the spirit of cowardice, 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us, you and me, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Caleb's spirit was displayed with his undaunted faith in the Lord. Numbers 14:9. And the Lord is with us. He had faith. He knew with God's help, with God's hand, they could conquer the land and they could fully possess it. It's said 6 times of Caleb that he fully followed the Lord. He had another spirit within him. His spirit was also displayed in his loyalty to the Lord. You see, he did not compromise on the word of God. He believed in the promises of God. And because he didn't compromise, he didn't find it easy. What do we read? In verse 10, when Caleb said, "Do not rebel against the Lord, do not fear the people of the Lord, for they are bred their protection is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." He stood up on his conviction, and the result was he was not popular. What do we read in verse 10? And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all their signs which I performed amongst them?" Here he was, standing up for God. A man of faith, a man who wholly followed the Lord, a man who would not compromise on the other 10. He didn't say to the other 10, perhaps they're right, you know, that's going to be a hard go, you know, and sort of compromised. He did not compromise at all. And because he didn't compromise, they talked about stoning him. And I'll tell you something else, brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you don't compromise, there'll be times in your life when you won't be popular. God's not called us to be popular. God's called us to follow him and obey him and to fully and wholly give our lives to him. We're not going to be popular. We must not compromise. He had another spirit within him. You see, he had a personal relationship with God. No way was he going to follow the other 10 spies. He was going to stand out and be counted. But the Spirit also gave him unbounded zeal for the Lord's cause. Look at this. Numbers 13:30 again. Read it again. You know, it's when Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." He wanted to go straight away, didn't he? He didn't want to have committee meetings, and he didn't want to. He was going to go. He was enthusiastic. He'd seen that land, what God had promised him, a land flowing with milk and honey. He wanted some more of those grapes of Eshcol, didn't he? He didn't want to be left behind. You see, what did Jesus say? He says, "I've come that you might have life, and that you might have abundantly." But an abundant life needs to be taken by faith. The enemy will try and stop us. The soothsayers are out there. There's negative things all around us. But we can live a life wholly following the Lord, and through that we will be blessed. He wanted his mountain. He says, we're well able in God's strength. The other said, we're not able in man's strength. Habakkuk 3:19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk on my high hills. Of a New Living Version says, bring me safely over the mountains. Mark 10:27, the Lord Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible. After spending 40 years among the grumblers and the complainers, seeing God execute his judgment on that generation, fighting the enemy and fighting Satan, who was trying to stop them taking God's possession, which was God's destiny for those people. This man, you can turn over to Joshua now. This man, Caleb, came up to Joshua to claim his portion. John 14:6. We read all about this. And verse 8 says, verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of a people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. You see, Caleb had a faith that was triumphant. He said in verse 7, I brought back word. Which was in my heart. Here's another spirit. Something happened to Hebron, didn't it? Or had he got another spirit? Before he left, despite the land, there was no mention of Caleb having another spirit. He was just one of the 12 spies. So what happened to him? In Hebron, what does that mean? That means fellowship. There he must have had an accountant with God. He would have met God at Mount Hebron face to face. It's there where a relationship was formed. Hebron, fellowship. Secondly, it's at Hebron where Abram and Sarah were buried. And there he would have been reminded of the promises of God's word to Abraham concerning the land. What was that? That God promised the land to Abraham and his followers and to his children. Where did it come from? From the river Nile to the river Euphrates. That's God's promise. Including Iraq, parts of Syria, Jordan, parts of Egypt. That's God's promise to the children of Israel. And as he was in Hebron, he was reminded of that, of God's word. But also, he received God's spirit. And God's word, with God's spirit, together drove him on to claim the inheritance which God had promised. And he claimed Hebron. As he stood there, what did he do? Joshua said, every piece of land you walk upon will be yours. He didn't just believe God, he just was not filled with the Spirit of God. He claimed it then and there. You and me have the greatest inheritance that the world, the universe, and ever could have. And that inheritance is in Jesus Christ. Are we living in the reality of that inheritance? Are we claiming the promises of God daily? Are we living by faith in His Word, led by His Spirit? Or are we just sitting there, complaining and going nowhere? So with boldness and certainty, Caleb said to Joshua, what did he say? Give me this mountain. You know, that's in Joshua 14, verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain, of which the Lord spoke in that day. For your heart you heard in that day how Anakim were there, and that cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. There he was. 45 years later, 40 years in the wilderness, and 5 years to get to this point of claiming his land. And he goes on to say, I'm as strong as I was before. Going to fight and to come back. I don't know whether I'm 80 years of age. I'm not as strong physically as I was 40 years ago. But I tell you one thing. I believe I'm stronger spiritually than I was 40 years ago. I'm out there to fight the devil every day if he has to come upon me. Why? Because the battle's not mine, it's the Lord's, isn't it? And whether we're 20 years of age, or whether we're 80 years of age, or whether we're 90 years of age, God can give us the power and the spirit to fight the devil and to claim his inheritance. And Joshua gave him Hebron and blessed him. What do we learn from this? God keeps his promises. Yes, he keeps his promises. He promised the land. Eventually the rest of them occupied it. Caleb and Joshua had to wait longer than he wanted. But God kept his promise. We need to walk the talk to wholly follow the Lord. We need to put things of God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things we added unto you. Matthew 6:23. We need another spirit, like Caleb, to ask the Holy Spirit, the power of God. As Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, the same power which brought Christ Jesus back to the dead is inward to those who believe. We have the resurrection power. We need to have complete faith in God. Not to trust others. Not to trust the world. But have complete faith in others. Complete faith in God. And finally, Caleb didn't not accept his promise, just accept his promise. He claimed it. In Matthew, in Joshua 15:14, we read these words. You see, to claim his promise and to possess the land, he had to drive out the enemy, didn't he? He had to drive the enemy out. In verse 14 says, Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Shenshon, Ahiman, and Talamah, the children of Anak. He drove out those giants. But he got his son-in-law to, his future son-in-law to give him a hand, didn't he? Because he said in verse 16, he who attacks Kijar, Sipha, and takes it to him, I will give Asher, my daughter, as a wife. So Ophanol, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Cain, took it and he gave him Asher, his daughter, as a wife. So he got his family involved. That was his nephew who married his daughter. Another thing, he was generous to his daughter, verse 19. When Caleb would have split up his portion of his inheritance and gave it to his family. And in verse 19, his daughter came up to him and said, "Give me a blessing, since you have given me land in the south, and give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. It was no good having land without water, was it? Water is life. Land on its own is dead. Unless what we give to our children is of God, we can give them houses, we can give them money, we can give them all sorts of things. But the main thing we can give them is Christ, the living water. That's where life is. That's what that tells me as I read that. The land was no good on its own. It was barren. But it needed water. We can give our children a good education. We can give them everything they want. But if we don't give them Christ and lead them to Christ, we can give them Christ, so it's up to them to accept it, we know. Their lives will be barren. Shall we pray? Loving God, we thank you this morning for the simplicity of your word, for what it teaches us, for what it challenges us about, what it encourages us. But from all of this, might we examine our hearts and say, am I wholly following the Lord? Do I want to be like Caleb? Or do I want to be like the other 10 spies and wander in the wilderness? Lord, if we are yours, if we've been born at your firm, we have your spirit, and we have the promises of your word, might we combine them both together and claim what is rightfully ours, a victorious life in Jesus Christ, which will give us power to thwart the attacks of the enemy. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.